What happens when we die? Chapter 4. If a man die, shall he live again? This question is not one that is asked now so much as it ought to be. The question that is now asked a good deal more than it ought to be is whether man really dies, whether there is really any such thing as death. And as it is, in the great majority of cases, decided that man does not die, that there is no death, what seems so is transition. In the view that man never ceases to live, it would not be an appropriate question at all to ask, shall he live again? But, as we have abundantly shown, the Bible considers this subject from the standpoint of the fact that man does die, that when he is dead he is wholly unconscious, and that all prospect of future existence depends upon an affirmative answer, from the Word of God, to the question as to whether he shall live again. In Job is written the question to which we have here referred. If a man die, shall he live again? And in Isaiah we have the direct answer to the question. Your dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust, for your dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. The only hope of future life which the Word of God presents is in the resurrection of the dead. This is the hope of the righteous, it is the Christian's hope. Paul, in discussing this subject of the resurrection of the dead, proves first that Christ is risen, and then says, Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. It is evident that there were some at Corinth, even as there are some now, who profess to believe in Christ, and at the same time believe not in the resurrection of the dead. But Paul settles that at once by saying, If there is no resurrection of the dead, your faith in Christ is vain. This proves plainly that our hope and faith in Christ meet their fruition only at and by the resurrection of the dead. This is so important that the Spirit of God, by the Apostle, repeats it. Again he says, If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Here it is declared that to deny the resurrection of the dead is to deny the resurrection of Christ, is to leave the professed believer yet in his sins, and therefore it subverts the gospel and the salvation of Christ. This is followed by another most important conclusion, and that is, if the dead rise not, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. It would be impossible to more forcibly show that all hope of future life depends upon the resurrection of the dead. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then the dead are perished. And this is stated, not of the wicked dead, but of the righteous dead, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, even these have perished if there be no resurrection of the dead. In verse 32, this is repeated in another form. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me, if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Such argument as that is very seldom heard in these our days. The argument now is, what advantage is it for us to practice the life of Christian self-denial if the soul be not immortal? What advantage is it for us to do these things if we do not go to heaven when we die? And so it is even sung, Oh, you must be a lover of the Lord, or you can't go to heaven when you die. The truth is that, even though you be a lover of the Lord, you can't go to heaven when you die. But you can go at the resurrection of the dead, and that is at the coming of the Lord. For so it is written, As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So means in this manner. In this manner it is that we go to heaven. In this manner we meet the Lord. The hope of life by Christ, at the resurrection of the dead, is the hope in which Paul lived, the hope in which he exercised himself, the hope which he preached. When he stood before the council, he said, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question. And afterward, when he answered his accusers before Felix, he said, I have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me, while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice, that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead I am called in question by you this day. Again, when he stood before Agrippa, he said, And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you, that God should raise the dead? Now put these things together. A. He stood and was judged for the hope of the promise made of God. B. This was the promise made unto the fathers. C. Unto this promise the 12 tribes, all Israel, hope to come. D. For this hope he was accused of the Jews. E. But he was accused, called in question, of the Jews, touching the resurrection of the dead. F. Therefore the hope of the promise of God, made unto the fathers, is the hope of the promise of the resurrection of the dead. G. This is made emphatic by his question to Agrippa, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you, that God should raise the dead? When Paul was at Athens, he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Therefore it is plainly proved that the hope which God has set before us in Christ and his blessed gospel, is the hope of the resurrection from the dead unto everlasting life and eater and ale glory. And as this resurrection all depends upon the glorious appearing of our Savior, therefore the second coming of our Savior is inseparably connected with this, the Christian's blessed hope. Thus says the Lord. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This is that for which Job looked. He says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait, till my change come. This change is at the resurrection, for says Paul, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Again says Job, if I wait, the grave is my house, I have made my bed in the darkness. And where is now my hope? Here it is. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin, worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not a stranger. My reins within me are consumed with earnest desire for that day. Time and space would fail us to quote the words of this hope, expressed by David, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel, and Hosea, and Micah, and all the prophets and apostles. We can only cite again the words that this is the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise we instantly serving God day and night hope to come. Why should it be thought a thing incredible that God should raise the dead? The righteous dead shall live again, at the coming of the Lord, and therefore we look and anxiously wait for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus. Like faithful Job, our reins within us are consumed with earnest desire for that glorious day. And as he assures us, surely I come quickly. Our hearts reply, Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.